Hi, everybody. It's wonderful to be here with you today. I'm hosting this panel, but now I'm going to discuss my project, okay? So the name of the project, Wind, Water, and Artificial Intelligence, Appraising Feng Shui in Real Estate with Machine Learning. Okay, so let me introduce what this is all about. I was kind of hoping for a transition there. Hold on. Okay, all right, let me try this. Okay, so here it is. So basically, what I want to talk about today is I'm a historian, I'm a humanist. I recently wrote a book about the history of feng shui in the late imperial period in China. And after my book came out, I started to talk with engineers at MIT working in machine learning, artificial intelligence, and they said to me, hey, could we teach a computer how to recognize and appraise feng shui? And I said, well, maybe we could. And so then we got together with people in the real estate field, people at National University of Singapore, and so we're kind of embarking on this project, and that's what I'm going to share with you all today. Three things I'm going to do. First, I'll introduce feng shui. What is it historically? Then I'll say a little bit about that. And then I'll move into what we're actually trying to do in merging humanistic knowledge with technology and also, you know, the business realm, okay? All right, so without further ado, let me start out with what is feng shui. Feng shui is composed of two Chinese characters, wind and water. I define feng shui in three different definitions or three different realms, levels, as a knowledge, as a practice, and as a discourse. Okay, as a knowledge, what is it? It's a knowledge of orienting structures such as graves and houses in accordance with cosmological principles and the flow of qi. Let's break that down a little bit. Qi is this vital essence. It flows through all things. So Rona just talked to us about medicine. In Chinese medicine, you'll find qi. You'll find qi in basically all of the traditional sciences of China, okay? Now, that includes, as I just mentioned, this kind of qi flows through the human body, okay, through meridians or human veins, jing mai. This is not the same as blood veins. Blood veins is, you know, if you go to an acupuncturist and they put a needle in your skin, they don't draw blood because they're not going for those kind of veins. They're going for these veins, veins carrying qi, nodes on the body, okay? Now, why do I mention this to you? Because in feng shui, we identify veins in the earth, okay? And you can map those, you can plot those, you can diagnose those. The earth can be healthy, the earth can be sick, okay? And that's what feng shui masters do. They apply this knowledge. Now, when they apply this knowledge, what you can say is that in practice, feng shui becomes something like the medicine of the land. Okay, that's really what it was for centuries in China. One final definition before I move on is this discourse. What do I mean by that? A way people talk. Okay, feng shui was a way that people talked in China, much like in medicine. I'm not a medical doctor, but I'm on TikTok. I find out what diets I should adopt, intermittent fasting, whatever. It pervades society, okay? And feng shui was like that in China. All right. Now, feng shui is particularly interesting because in Chinese history, you could sue somebody because of harmed feng shui. How do you sue somebody? Well, because feng shui can be damaged. And when feng shui is damaged, you go to the court and you complain. How do you damage feng shui? Well, this is traditionally in China, four major ways. You can cut down a tree deemed to be connected to feng shui. You can mine a mountain deemed to be connected to feng shui. Not all mountains, but some, right? You can change the direction of important water flows. And the final thing, which would still be relevant and applied in California, building something that local residents don't like. You can go to the court and say, our feng shui has been disturbed, we've got a new tower, it's too tall, it's not tall enough, what's going on? Lawsuit, okay? So what I do in this book is I analyze hundreds of these lawsuits, and I try to figure out how feng shui actually worked, how it was applied, you know, what did people think about it? I argue that the Qing state consciously accorded a space in legal practice for the consideration of feng shui claims, and that space needed to be there. Okay, so this is all well and good, but let's leave Qing history behind for a second, okay? It's a good, interesting story, but what my colleagues at MIT realized was, hey, you know, by looking at these legal cases, you're actually distilling principles of feng shui that were applied. So, you know, and especially, for instance, to housing, right? So this is a map. This is an 18th century text. Inauspicious houses, okay? Houses with certain doorways that are too high, lower in certain areas, layouts where water flows, where trees should be, all of that. And so my colleagues said, Could you create a list of principles that were consistently recognized in law? And I said, sure, I can start to do that. And of course, what they had in mind was reaching Chinese audiences today. Okay, so turning to today, I'm sure you all realize, or you know, it's practiced beyond China's borders, pretty much anywhere where there are large Sinophone communities. Feng Shui is still actively practiced in Singapore, probably Los Angeles, San Francisco, I imagine, Taiwan, of course, and of course, Korea. This today is also a big business, okay? There are so many people peddling feng shui knowledge on, let's say, the internet, right? It's now a tens of million dollars industry across many places. The other thing is that it's also a very lucrative industry in the sense of architects and design specialists who are actually building stuff today, they might hire feng shui specialists or incorporate this knowledge because it kind of like, it brings recognition, right? Something special to the project. All right, so what's the sort of problem? What's the issue that our working team has? Well, real estate focus on feng shui has kind of been very superficial, right? It's basically today, well, let's look at some lucky numbers. Oh, Chinese people don't like the number four, whatever. It's like kind of like that level. Then you have the problem of feng shui is very popular. Lots of people are interested in it, but not a lot of people actually know what it was historically, right? Or actually what the core principles of it are. So we need consistency, we need transparency, and we need verifiability. Okay, so that's kind of where our team comes in. So we're trying to pioneer a systematic validation of certain feng shui principles as applied to real estate markets in certain Asian markets. Okay, so we're going to leverage breakthroughs in artificial intelligence, develop a feng shui visual AI model to validate specific claims, and develop feng shui quality indices, okay, that could be used go on Redfin, what's your education score, what's your transit score, what's your climate score, what's your feng shui score? We should have this, right? Perform real estate feng shui mass appraisals, and this is where the commercialization potential we hope comes in, okay? All right, so key research questions, just really, I know I don't want to take up too much time. How does feng shui matter in the markets that we're looking at? Where does it matter in the markets that we're looking at, right? Maybe not all neighborhoods, maybe not all parts of the city, et cetera. We got to look specifics. And then who specifically cares about feng shui? Who might not care about feng shui, right? We don't assume that everybody in Singapore is going to be into feng shui, right? Or everybody in Hong Kong. Kind of get ahead of myself there. I'll just say that we're starting out with two different sites of studies, Singapore as a market, in Los Angeles as a market. We like the Los Angeles market because you get a nice suburban landscape there. We can look at different types of landforms, landscapes, et cetera. And of course, we like Singapore because feng shui is big business in Singapore. So what we're doing is we're applying this AI method of an urban visual intelligence framework. This has already been developed by my colleagues at MIT. They've sort of done this for, you know, climate and environmental sort of studies. And if we take this, we could apply it we could apply that same model to feng shui, okay? So we start with a multitude of images of properties. The AI recognizes complex visual patterns of spatial configuration embedded in the image. We survey many respondents who have feng shui knowledge, looking for the sort of principles that I've been talking about. And then finally, appraise feng shui's values in real estate market using the quality indexes in pricing, okay? So you can kind of see, just in the interest of time, I'm kind of run through this. But what we do have, or what we've been developing, is a checklist of these principles. Partly, they're principles that I saw recognized again and again and again in the legal cases I studied for my first book. They're also principles that are recognized in classical texts about feng shui, okay? So you can see this is the kind of example assessment that we've started to create, and then to teach via machine learning the computers how to recognize it. So this is like your water checklist. You take a property, what type of water does it have around it? Where is it located? How does it flow? Okay, we have it for mountain, right? That's like elevation, and so on and so forth. So that's what we're doing. And then this is an example of the assessment. Okay, so basically, that's the project. Hopefully it works, and I'll keep you updated. Thank you so much.